Welcome to the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Calabrese, CPG advisor and now founder of It's All Happening, an agency that helps brands with launch strategy. Tune in as we break down ways that successful female entrepreneurs are using to build their businesses. You'll hear stories of the people who make shit happen, overcoming struggles, and celebrating the wins. We cover how brands are taking products to market, tactics that work, things that have failed, and just lessons learned from out in the field. Whether you're looking for inspiration, industry secrets, or launching a brand, this is the place. All right, you guys, I just hung up with Birdie Bakes, the co-founders, Victoria and Katie, who are just such badass moms. I love them so much. And we went through their entire strategy and how they really decided that this was a product that people need to have. Both of them are moms. They totally understand the challenge of feeding kids well while just juggling everyday life. Like so many parents, they really wanted just to get more fruits, veggies, fiber, and protein into their kids' diets. And muffins were just an easy vehicle for that. So they decided to launch Birdie Bakes, which is a product that makes you feel like you're baking from scratch. Their whole mission is built on keeping things simple, honest, and always fun so that they can prove that nourishing your family doesn't have to be complicated or boring. So I love this conversation with Victoria and Katie. So without further ado, let's get to it. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Calabrese, and today I'm here with Victoria Tani and Katie Nugent, co-founders of Birdie Bakes, a better-for-you baking mix with real fruit and veggies. Ladies, I'm so excited to chat with you today. Thank you so much for joining me.
We're really excited. If people could see my face, they would be like, you're cheesing way too hard. Like, fangirling. I often go into our like internal team meetings and I'm like, I was listening to this podcast, you guys. And most times it is yours. And they're like, Victoria, just relax. So really excited.
I love it. So Birdie Bakes is a new to market baking mix that is super kid and family focused. I love your brand so much. I've tried your products. I have baked with them in my house and I just love what you're doing with the brand. And the baking category, or just the baking mix category, is an explosive category in the last several years. And a lot of these brands are really doubling down on gluten-free, and that's basically the opposite of what you guys are doing, right? You're not leaning into gluten-free. You're just leaning into whole foods, super clean ingredients, and high-quality ingredients, essentially. So why did you decide to take that route versus going the gluten-free route?
Honestly, we were just looking for something to fulfill a need in our own kitchen. So it wasn't necessarily about being on trend. It was we wanted a way to simplify the made from scratch experience by giving people a convenient way to have something where the end product is from scratch. So like if I looked in my pantry, every single ingredient on the back of our product is likely in your pantry, but it's one bowl. Super easy cleanup, under 25 minutes to make. And like the mess is like, there's nothing. Like all the pain points we solved and our kids love it. So.
And the hidden fruits and veggies thing is just so genius. I love that so much. And also as a mom of picky eaters, we're kind of growing out of the picky eating phase. Thank the good Lord.
Lucky you.
But yeah, lucky us. But it really is like it's a thing. You're just constantly like, oh my God, how can I get more vegetables into their diet? Because they just refuse to eat them.
I agree with you. And the thing I struggled with is like, before you have kids, you're always like, I will never, ever let my kid be the picky eater. They will be so, their palate will be so diverse. Like they will understand and eat all this wonderful things. And then they come to 2 years old and then you're like, struggling and looking in your pantry of like what you can like secretly sneak on their plate. And that was kind of where I struggled of like, okay, why are my kids eating muffins galore. But the second you put a carrot on their plate, like, the world ends. So it was this aha moment in my head that I was like, I was actually making mac and cheese at one point. I was like, how do I just like add them in here without them knowing? And it wasn't that, obviously, that product, but it was this moment of like, why can't it be included in the daily foods that they do eat, that I can give them the nutrition from fruits and veggies? That, because as a kid, I was a kid. I didn't eat fruits and veggies. I do now, right? But it, forcing a two-year-old to like things like that is just not realistic.
Well, I love what you said, Katie, about before you become a mom, you're like, oh, never will I ever, right? Like you say all those things, and then like you're there, you're in it, and you're like, I'm doing all of the things that, or I'm letting them eat all of the things that I swear I would never let them eat. That is like so my struggle with it as well too. And I know so many people, because you just need them to consume calories sometimes, right? And you're just like, oh my gosh. So you really...
Surviving.
Yeah, survival and like compromise, and especially when it comes to the vegetables. So I love the concept of the hidden veggies. So I want to hear about your backgrounds and share with us what you guys were doing before Birdie Bakes.
A lot easier. We were talking about this. We were like, our lives have gotten more complicated, but the families who are now use Birdie Bakes, we have received overwhelming feedback that we've made their lives easier, which is obviously the mission. But yeah, life is more complicated. I work full time still. So I'm a mom of two, work full time, and Birdie Bakes is like my moonlight from 8 p.m. get the kids down to 11 p.m. at night, which is a lot, but it's just the way that it has to be right now until, you know, we can get a bit more traction behind our belt with this brand and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And my background, worked 12 plus years in corporate America and then got married, settled down, started having babies, and became a stay-at-home mom. So in my head, I was always like, I still in my head have this corporate America, like, how do I still keep like my toe in the water? But this has kind of been our like outlet of making a business and, you know, bringing it to market. The funny story on how Victoria and I know each other and how the Birdie Bakes got started is that our husbands are actually friends, right? So we actually are like not college friends or like high school friends. Like, we know each other because our husbands love to golf. And we were always like hanging out with each other while they go golfing. So our friendship has evolved from, you know, just knowing each other through our significant others, but then becoming moms together and then kind of having these struggles. And in the group chat, we're like, hey, my kid's not eating this. And she's like, well, my kids can't poop. And so there's all these things of like, we were just bouncing. And it's funny how our friendship has evolved from like, it's boat days of drinking high noons on a boat to now like having these daily mom struggles. Yeah, yeah. Talking about poop. Yeah. And now being like in this professional environment with each other, it's been an evolution.
Yeah. I love how you guys really illustrate the struggle of parenthood. And I know that a lot because I've seen a lot of your materials. And Victoria, I've gotten the chance to work with you behind the scenes in Launch Lab and have looked at a lot of your strategy and everything you guys are building. And you really do such a good job of pinpointing the pain points that we go through in the early days. And I always think too, when we were looking at that deck the other day and you had the slide of the kids crying and whatnot, it's so funny that like, because I'm past that age, my kids are older now, like they're 8.5 and 10. You actually forget that that's what you were dealing with nonstop. But I thought of it the other day when your deck was up and it was like, I think it was like TikToks or Instagrams of the kids just like having complete meltdowns.
Yeah. And Jane was trying to be nice, being like, your kid being picky. I'm like, no, he was screaming at me as I was trying
meltdown.
To get him to eat a sweet potato. If it wasn't in fry form, he wouldn't eat it. Yeah. And I appreciate you recognizing that as part of our brand, because we have tried to be really intentional about identifying the pain points, but not taking ourselves too seriously. Like, we don't want to be the like super like buttoned up mom that's not realistic. It's like, we're here and we're in the trenches with you, and like, let's be funny and have fun with it. And I think one thing that's special about Katie and my backgrounds as like friends and now co-founders is we both identify as two like major consumer groups, right? Like Katie has her struggles, her day-to-day being at home with four kids and what that looks like is completely different for me as the working mom of two. And how do we make sure that we're like speaking to all busy families and using our own learned and lived experience to help others that are going through what we're going through.
Yeah. Okay. So like we get it. You decided that this product needed to come to market because of your own need. You wanted to bring something to life that like you felt could really help people in your shoes. And then how did you start?
So we were like texting, complaining about how we do this in our day-to-day life. And it was honestly, we might even still have a screenshot of a text. And it was like, let's do it. Like, why is this not happening? Let's just do it ourselves. So I think I remember going on a Saturday. I don't know what day you went, but we both went to Whole Foods. I bought like $100 of flour, of different flours, of different ingredients. And we all just like, she's in Texas, I'm in Michigan, started baking in our kitchen, failed so many times. And we had like muffins on muffins and muffins in our kitchen. Like, and our kids would look at them and throw them. And like, it was so bad. And luckily we have very supportive husbands who were like trying them and being like, yeah, you got to work on this one.
Yeah.
But like, it was just a matter of like, let's do it. Like, let's start baking. I think we did that for like a month, 2 months, where we were just trying to do it ourselves. And then we got to a point of like, we clearly were failing at this for a reason. Like, let's bring in somebody that like actually knows what they're doing. So we ended up hiring a food scientist to get us to the point of like a tasty muffin that hit all the boxes that we needed it to hit, because that was where we were failing, right? Like, we wanted the fruits and veggies in, but then we'd get like an overly carrot muffin, or like we wanted certain flours, but then that was like too dense. So we really were like, you know what? Let's outsource this. Let's put on paper our ideals. And we hired this really amazing food scientist that she was also a mom. She was like, you guys, I get this. Like, I'm actually going to test this on my kids while I help make this in my own kitchen. But yeah, we landed on a recipe. I think it took a few months of like trial and error with her and testing batches. But we finally got our ideal product that we both tried in separate states and like FaceTimed each other, like not trying to skew each other's opinions. And we were like, okay, this is it. So then it was a matter of getting our branding right, talking through our story of like how we wanted the brand to be perceived. And I know we just touched on it a little bit, but it was very much of like, we are real moms. We don't want to look like or act like we are trying to bake this from the gardens of our backyard, which those moms are amazing. Those are not, like, that is not us. So we were like, let's be as real as we possibly can and provide a product that is as real as possibly can, right? Like, how do we exude our product in a way that is reflective of the people that we are and the households we have? So it kind of started from there.
Wait, you're not growing a garden like Jennifer Gardner and like buying like family land and putting that into your mixes? What?
I would love to be Farmer Victoria and have family land.
I know. Doesn't that
the next business? The next business.
Doesn't that sound amazing?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So smart. You hired the food scientist, of course, to get it right. Who did you guys work with on branding?
Branding was a fun journey. We mostly did it ourselves. Mm. And Katie and I have differing opinions on this, which is another beauty of having a co-founder, is challenging each other than coming to a whatever uniform conclusion. But we hired someone to do our color palette and our logo. And then we like kind of workshopped the rest ourselves, because we're like, we're our target consumer. We know who we are. Like, we can make it. And I think ultimately, given the limited resources, it turned out amazing. But our brand has already even evolved so much since we launched. And we already have so many more ideas of where we want it to go. So now that we've learned what we have, we're investing more resources to like dial in where we felt like it's not exactly where we want it to be now.
Okay. So phase one completed, moving into phase two, potentially in the future. I think that's very normal. And people do that all the time. They start with one version and they realize they want to make changes in V2. So join the club. Okay. So you dialed in your packaging. Now talk to us about manufacturing search. Did your food scientist help you with that? Did you guys find your manufacturer? How did you partner up?
The manufacturing search was horrible, in short.
Yeah.
I work in advertising, client services people, timely email responses.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Bullet points. Yeah. It is not that. And I really struggle with that at the beginning. And they're like, while there are databases, like they're not super great. So we interviewed a ton of people and we actually had a co-packer lined up. Like we flew out there, met them, and then they ghosted us. So we had plans to launch, I think in January of 2025. We're like, we're going to Expo West. We had all these things, all these dreams and ideals. And then they just like didn't respond to us. Then that started the like search of someone else. Again, I think it took like 6 months. And then our co-packer that we ended up finding is amazing and we're very grateful for them. But yeah, the search is not easy. If I could like revolutionize the co-man industry, like there is a market for that, but I do not have the skills. So someone else has to do that because I know we're not the only ones who have had that struggle.
Well, so many people have tried to make it easier with these like databases and searches. The problem is that the manufacturers are just like not interested. They don't care.
And our MOQs are really small, which is another thing.
Yeah, exactly. How do you get an entire industry of people who just like aren't the best on email nor customer service to just start behaving differently? Very, very difficult. It's so funny. You always hear that from people. Like it's like the same story over and over and over. I just was a lot to get used to people not actually getting back to me.
Lots of phone calls. Yeah. Just like,
I know. Yeah. Conversations that go nowhere with no follow up and whatnot. And you guys are lucky too, because your category is not even that hard to find a manufacturer. Like I'm not saying it's not challenging, but like out of all the types of products, this category is one that's for sure on the easier side. So imagine if you were trying to like do a tin
soup.
Yeah, exactly. Anything. Something or a very complex beverage or anyway. Okay. So you finally lock in your manufacturer and you go straight to production, or were you building any strategy around the launch? Or I'm just curious like what the launch plan looked like.
So we got the product and we were like, okay, it's coming. So the second we like pressed, like signed the purchase orders and did all that, it was like, okay, we have 4 weeks. Like now what are we going to do? So it was a matter of like making sure our website was up and making sure our social channels were right domains. Like we kind of didn't even really have a plan looking back. Like I wish we were a little bit more strategic about a launch plan. Again, I think we were a little gun shy of like, let's just put it out there and like see if people like it. Like, and we did it. And then we were like, oh crap, now we got to like really market it. So we launched and it was great. Yeah. We had a great first day. It was like all friends and family. Everybody was really supportive. Like our first month was awesome. But I would say that like a regret was not like bringing people along earlier on and just thinking that we could have like started on launch day to like have a full-on audience that like wanted to follow us.
Yeah.
I think if we would have started 6 months before and like talked and brought people along on that journey, we probably would have been even more successful that first month. But again, I think we were just intimidated. Like we were like, let's do it and hopefully it doesn't fail. And I don't know. It was like a very insecure moment, but we were like, we did it. Now what?
Yeah, well, you guys are also new to the industry as well, too. And it's not like you're coming with all this like experience and knowledge on like how to have this crazy launch. Like it was very learning as you go. So, okay, I want to hear about like, I can imagine since then. So when was that? When was that, Katie? When did you guys launch?
September 10th. I remember these dates because I had a baby September 18th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Her fourth baby.
Yeah.
I consider this was like the birth before the fourth birth. Like this was all very, because we were actually strategizing, like, what if I go into labor while we launch, like the day this launches? Like, because all the product is in Michigan. Uh-huh. So I was kind of in charge of all of like fulfillment and like making sure orders and things come through right. And I was like, well, I'll bring the printer and do all this stuff from the hospital. Like, so luckily none of that happened, but like it truly, we like had a call about it. Like what's going to happen?
That's so funny.
If it happened. But.
I have a question for you. Are you running in circles every month and stalling yourself out, missing out on sales? You're just like doing endless research because you're trying to figure it all out on your own. Maybe you're confused on how to price your product, how much margin you'll need if you're going to be profitable. You really don't know how much startup capital you're going to need. You're lost on what to spend and what's reasonable. And you don't have any clue really on how to build an operating budget. Maybe you can't get a manufacturer to answer your emails and you're not sure if you need to spend money on an R&D partner. And then when it comes to retail, you just don't even know where to start. You never successfully pitched to a retail buyer or an investor, and you could really use some guidance and framework. You might not have any clue on how to figure out which channels to launch in and how to determine when it's time to open up new ones. And I know that you really want to launch your brand, but you just don't feel confident that you have the right information and strategy to be successful. So let me help you de-risk your investment. This is what we do in Launch Lab. I guide you through my 4-part framework that teaches you exactly how to launch your food and beverage brand successfully. You'll get a complete toolkit that will take you through the step-by-step process, and you'll have access to a founder community so you can build alongside others who are in the same shoes and at similar stages, where you network inside of our Slack channel. You have access to me specifically in office hours every week, where you come with your questions and I give you real live operator-led feedback. There's 2 ways to join Launch Lab. You can join our live cohort, which happens twice a year in March and in September. These are 10-week cohorts that kick off and run 4 days a week. If you want to get started now and it's not March or September, you miss a sign up, no worries. We have the pre-recorded version running all the time, so you can join at your leisure whenever it works for you. So stop stressing out, start de-risking your investment and getting a real launch plan together. Check out itsallhappeningagency.co/launch-course. So what are some of the things that you guys have learned since you launched, just about the industry in general?
Yeah, the industry is amazing, honestly. I wish I was introduced to it sooner. Everyone is so creative and there's so much talent. And also equally, everyone is so supportive. So the competition isn't necessarily like me versus you. Like, we're all trying to like fulfill our own mission and support each other along the way. But on the flip side, because everyone is so creative and like coming up with these amazing things, it is intimidating when you're trying to launch a new product and you're having these like, I wholeheartedly believe in what I'm doing conversations mixed with the 5% doubt of like, am I good enough? Am I doing everything I should be doing? And like Katie said, I think we definitely did not put enough into the initial launch because our lens was more like, let's just test the market and see if people like it. And I still agree that like testing the market makes sense, but I wish we would have taken it from the lens of like, if this is successful and we're launching this in the lens of this is going to hit, what are all the steps that we need to do to put our best foot forward? And instead it was just like, okay, we've got the product made amazing. Like, now what? And that's really when the real work begins.
You guys aren't the only ones out there who have done it this way. You know, like there's plenty of people. I hear this from founders all the time. We wish we would have been building in public and taking people along on our journey, like you said earlier, Katie. That's something I hear constantly. I don't know what happens. Like, we see it on social. And oftentimes when you're building it yourself, there's like a block. You don't realize that you need to be doing that as well too. I also think it's a millennial thing. We're just like not as comfortable sharing everything. I think Gen Z is like way more comfortable and it's just like part of their whole thing. If you're a millennial, you're more just like, I don't want to like tell people on social media what I'm doing 24/7.
Yeah, it's definitely like,
And that's where, to what we're talking about, is like a lot of these new brands too are a lot of the Gen Zs. Yeah. So it's like, we're so like, yeah, to your point of like not being able to capture the content, because in my head, the content's not very appealing. So it's like, oh, why would I record me walking through the warehouse or things like that? But like, they're also so good at it. And like, they, I feel like, see the world through a different lens. And like, I just think we're just a little bit more like close knit and like keeping it safe.
More private.
Like, but it, like, then no one can critique it when really there's this like need where people like want to see the flaws and want to come along on the journey where we're just not used to it. It's very uncomfortable, but that's how it succeeds. So,
yeah, documenting the journey and the process of building can be a strategy to like really take people along with you, build the audience. So when you do launch, you have a really great group of people who are primed and ready to purchase. So I know it's kind of like a mentality shift. So you launch towards the end of next year. And I actually met you guys for the first time at Expo West this year at 2026 at the female networking event that Kelly Bennett and I hosted the day before the show started. And I've gotten to know you guys over the last couple of months, but tell me more about what has been happening behind the scenes.
Yeah. So I would say the first 3 months, so like Q4 of 2025, it was, you know, kind of finding our voice, seeing if people like the product, feedback, et cetera. We sold out of our first run, which was amazing. And then we doubled our order for our second run. And so our intention in starting 2026 was like, we're going to get into even more retail and, you know, explore distribution conversations. We had gotten into Good Eggs in March, which was amazing. And we went to Expo West. And it was about that time when we met where I came to you, Danielle, and I was like, I need help with sales channel strategy, because we made the mistake that I think a lot of founders make, in that we can get our COGS to a better place when we have volume without thinking, well, number one, what do those numbers look like? And number two, how much capital is it going to take to get there? And I'm very grateful that we all caught that together very early on, like before any damage was done. So we can grow, you know, as fast as possible. We want to grow quickly, but we also want to grow responsibly and sustainably. Yeah. And so since that time in March, when we started Launch Lab, we've really shifted our focus to like building all the sound foundational blocks that we didn't have because we didn't know, you know, we've never done this before.
I know you guys were originally thinking like you were going to go into retail right away. And we decided for the time being, it would be smarter and more strategic to stay D2C and really double down on what you're doing, fine-tuning your marketing and continuing to build the buzz out there. So tell us about what the next year is going to look like for Birdie Bakes.
We're looking at the last 7 months as truly just a learning and saying, I don't want to say we're like starting over, but we're using that as a reflective time of like, okay, we got a recipe, but was it a financially sound recipe? And, you know, we started to understand that there's people following us and like they want, not following us, but, you know, following the brand or becoming, you know, loyal purchasers of the brand. And they're asking for more. The people that are purchasing it are like, what other flavors do you guys have? Like what else can I get? So we're, like you guys said, working on our financial model to make sure that this is a viable product while also expanding into a second SKU so that there is a little variety of for our customers from a flavor standpoint.
Yeah, I love that. I'm excited for the new flavor. I think it's going to be cool to have that diversity. And I know that when I first met you guys not that long ago, you were considering a gluten-free SKU. That was at top of mind. But we decided to just really double down on the real ingredients.
And that came from, you know, we've done these events and a few people will be like, do you guys have a gluten-free? And in our heads, we're like, oh, should we do gluten-free?
Yeah.
But then we came back to each other and it was like, well, what do we want as a brand? Not necessarily, you know, you always get feedback from people of like, you should do this flavor, or you should do this and that. And it was like, you know, we need to sometimes cancel out a lot of the noise and stay true to who we are and not try to check the box for everybody. And I think that in that lens, it's helped us to kind of like in the chaos of this industry, like simplify our brand and our strategies so that when people think of us, there's a very clear direction and or image of what this product is versus, oh, it kind of checks the box for, you know, people that are looking for gluten or people that are looking for whole ingredients or people that are looking for fruits and veggies. Like, let's just hone in on what we believe as moms and what we focused on in our kitchens, because there was a reason that we're thinking about it. So there has to be a reason and other reasons for moms out there looking for that.
And I'm so happy that you brought that up, because if you're constantly chasing trends, you can just spin yourself in circles. And it becomes like a really unfocused way of operating your business. And I think something that's interesting that we've chatted about is, or Victoria and I have chatted about, is like, do we know, guys, that only 1% of the population is celiac? But if you look at the aisles, there are gluten-free baking mixes all over the place. So why is that, right? Like, why we don't actually all need these gluten-free options. We've just been trained to think that wheat is bad, but wheat isn't really bad. It's the quality of the wheat, right? And Alan, one of my awesome clients, does a really good job, I think, of this, because that's her whole thing. She's a cake mix company, and her whole thing is real wheat, high quality wheat. And this whole like return to wheat and return to dairy, these types of trends are really interesting, because it's not that these ingredients are so bad, it's what we've done to them. And that's what Alyssa from Allin is constantly talking about in her brand. And I think that there is so much opportunity there, because we don't need another gluten-free product on the market. There's already so many.
Totally.
Why can't we just use good ingredients?
One extra thing that we're doing is, like, I think from a shopper consumer perspective, is that products that are coming to market right now, a lot of it is like, add this to your diet and add that to your diet and you need more of this. And it's like, truly, Birdie Bakes is just going back to the basics. Like, yeah, that is, yeah, all, like, we are not solving any or breaking any records or solving any mind-blowing things. Like, we are truly just making a good product out of good ingredients. That's it.
Yeah.
And that it shouldn't be that complicated.
I'm happy you guys have decided to stay like the real wheat, the real gluten route. I think long term, it's going to be a huge point of differentiation in the sea of gluten-free products and baking mixes. I have a question for you guys. If you knew then what you know now, would you guys have got into this industry?
I would say yes. Katie and I are like very entrepreneurial in spirit. We tossed around a ton of ideas before Birdie Bakes. I personally love building things. Like, my whole professional background is in sales and in like building client relationships. And this is just a really cool creative way to do it. And one thing that kept us going in the early days when we were still trying to finalize the formula, if no one else buys this, like if it totally flops, it'll be something for us. Like, we still need it in our own kitchen. So we just have to keep going.
I love that. I think that's like just a good ethos to have in general. Where do you guys want to take the brand?
I think we truly picked like a pretty, and when we go back to like naming, when we picked the name, it needed to be specific, but it needed to be broad enough because, to her point, like, what if we think of other things or like want to expand the assortment or go into other categories? Like, I can see us potentially continuing to grow our muffin mixes, but maybe even exploring other aspects of CPG food related things. But from a Birdie Bakes today product standpoint, I think we want to continue to grow our SKU count, offering more flavors. We want to start growing into retail, and when it's right, not necessarily too fast, but you know, if it was a nice curve, like 3 years, maybe get to some national retailers. I think, and it's funny, Victoria and I were talking earlier, but we want to get to a point. So a lot of big brands have been really nice to us, and we're nobody, right? And for them to give us the time of day and give us kind of the, just even talking to us, it's been just like these tiny wins for us that we're like, oh my gosh, Amara's emailing us and they like us. Like, if we can get to a point where people will think of us that way, I think that would be a huge win for us. Like, oh my gosh, Birdie Bakes, like they're responding, they want to collab. Like that would be, in our eyes, like true success.
And just paying it forward. Like, it's insane the amount of support, like Katie said. Like, we both want to be able to pay forward all of the, like, help and support that other people have given us.
Yeah. I will say that about this industry, I completely agree with you. There really are, like, so many people that want to help because it's tough. It's hard, right? It's hard and it requires a lot of cash and usually a lot more cash than you originally think when you first enter this. So that leads me to my next question about bootstrapping. You guys are bootstrapped and have invested your own money, your own savings into this brand. Is that scary? Like, that must be really scary considering you guys have families and like, or your risk tolerance is super high. I love to hear from people what their perspective is of like taking their life savings and investing it into this company.
I think we just got to the point where things started to feel like really real. Up until this point, I don't want to say it's felt like monopoly money, but it kind of has felt like that, like because it hasn't been enough that it's stressful and we're still so small that we aren't having really big conversations. But we are at that inflection point right now where we are starting to talk about doing a friends and family round and making sure that when we put our foot forward to go and approach, you know, friends and families, angels, like we put our best foot forward and people take us really seriously and they trust us with their money ultimately. And they believe in us to like carry out this vision. But one other thing Katie and I were talking about before this is how, you know, as co-founders, we don't know what it's like to be a solo founder. And as co-founders, I feel like you don't see a lot of co-founder like duos that make it in the long run because it is hard to be a co-founder.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had to have a lot of serious conversations about finances and like direction and strategy and, you know, what friends and family are we going to reach out to? And I really appreciate that even in those hard conversations, we don't take anything personally. Like we both challenge each other in the right ways. We're self-aware and we like identify things that need to be fixed. And then we make a plan and we move on. And like, it's as simple as that.
Yeah. That's the sign of a good partnership. Coming from somebody who I've been in two co-founder situations. One co-founder situation with my best friend, which was amazing. And she's still my best friend after 20 some years. And I've been in another co-founder situation that was literally terrible. Like it was awful. So I can appreciate, and I've also seen a lot of founder breakups too. Yeah, I think if the communication is good around money, then like you'll probably survive as co-founders. That's always like the hardest part is the money part. Talking about the cash flow and when it's time to hit the gas and when it's time to pull back and be really scrappy and tight. Okay, so you guys are planning on raising funds in, you know, the next 6-9 months or so, it sounds like. That's going to open up retail. That's part of what you're looking to do with the money, correct?
Yeah, we're going to do, it'll go to, you know, marketing, more R&D because we want to do more SKUs next year, but mostly getting into natural specialty retail next year.
Yeah, which I think is where this product is going to do really well. You know, obviously on our convenience websites like Amazon and all that, of course, but ultimately, at the end of the day, I really do think that Birdie Bakes is going to live so well in natural specialty, specifically in Whole Foods and Sprouts. So I think it's, you know, really smart to be thinking about that. Okay, sage advice that you would give to a founder that's just starting out, what would you say to her?
Buckle up.
Buckle up. I love that. Yeah, that's honestly the best advice, right?
Mine's not going to be as funny as Katie's, but I have two things. The first is back to the content, building in public. If you're scared to build in public like we were, I wish I would have just recorded everything. And then I could decide later, like, am I going to post? Am I not? Who cares? There's no pressure to post, but I have it.
Yeah.
Because when we turned around and we're like, okay, what do we have to post to share all of our R&D? Like, I had like four pictures that I have used at exhaustion at this point. So take all the content. And then the second is like really network with other emerging brands. They are going to be your biggest supporters and champions and rise with you. I have to shout out Angie at Omajuice. She's an Austin mompreneur. And she had a marketing meeting with a retailer. And she was like, I have bags for Mix. Like, I'm going to bring them with me and literally just pitch your brand, which is amazing. And it's just nice to have a community to turn to because everyone knows what you're going through and can really just like appreciate the wins and the struggles and the tears and all the in between.
I so agree with that. Yeah, I so agree with that. Like networking with other people. I recorded a podcast earlier today with Maria from Purple Drop, and her and her husband have done such an amazing job networking and really putting themselves in the center of the circle with other founders, because like you, they did not come from this industry, right? And they had to learn a lot very quickly, and they're just standing in the center of the circle and everyone's helping them and supporting them. And it's the same story here. You know, the more you network and the more you like reach out and ask for help, like the more people will give. So I totally agree. Ladies, it was so great chatting with you. Thank you for talking with me and sharing the Birdie Bakes story. I think it's going to help a lot of people that are just starting out and trying to navigate this crazy business.
Thank you for having us. It was so awesome to be here. And obviously, we've loved every second of Launch Lab. So have to shout out, if anyone is considering doing Launch Lab at some point, it is worth every minute of time with you and the experience. So.
Oh, you're the best. Thank you for saying that. I know. I'm so glad that we got connected. And I think Gina from Pantry Gems connected us, right? Something yes. along those lines. She's the best.
Yes, yeah. She is the best.
I know. And where can we find you? Where can we find Birdie Bakes?
You can find us on our website right now, which is birdiebakesco.com. And then if you're local to Austin, we're at Parker and Scott and Tiny Grocer. And then if you're in California, we're on Good Eggs.
Thank you so much for chatting with me. And I will talk to you guys soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. It would mean so much to me if you like, subscribe, or share this episode with anyone who you think needs to hear. And if you're launching a brand and you need a CPG strategy advisor, visit my website to check out what we have to offer. I host free workshops from time to time. You have to sign up for emails to hear about those. And you can join Launch Lab, which is our group cohort that teaches you the four critical phases of launching your CPG brand and how to actually execute your launch quickly. We also do one-on-one advising. So if you book a profit plan session, I will assess your product profitability and recommend a package that works for you. You can book a call at itsallhappeningagency.co. You can email us at hi@itsallhappeningagency.co. And follow us on Instagram @itsallhappeningco. See you soon.